Tonight, we're going to be talking out of the book of Acts. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts. Talk a little bit about the church and what the early church looked like. And does it really, I mean, there's a, right here in the book of Acts is just the beginning of the new, of the church. And we start to see what's developed and what Jesus really wants the church to do, and how it starts to come about. And when we look at, I'm going to do a little bit of reading here, but I've got some good points, and we'll skip around just a little bit. But it says, in the former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Amen. So the first part of this is what we're looking at is, what do we see in this is obedience. So Jesus says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. So what do they do? The first part of this is obedience. The church has to be obedient. We as a church have to be obedient. Obedient to what? Obedient to the Scripture. Obedient to God's Word. Obedient to God's commands. If we're not doing that, then we're not really, we've lost it from the get-go, right? So the first thing that they did, they were obedient. Because what do we find when we turned over? It says that it was a day's walk from where they were at, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room. This is in verse 13. They went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. They were all joined together constantly in prayer. And the second thing I want to point out, the first thing that they did, they listened to what Jesus said, right? He said, don't forget about what I told you, all the commands I told you. And then he went to heaven. He said, remember, I'm coming, you know, the two guys appeared and said, I'm coming back. So the first thing they did is they were obedient. And they listened to what he had to say, and they went to the upper room. So they were there waiting. And then we find the second thing that they were doing is praying. Okay, so how should the church be? The church should be obedient, and then the church should be a praying church. Amen?
Amen.
Because without prayer, I'm telling you, things won't happen unless we're obedient in our prayer life. And it's discipline. Sometimes it's not easy to pray. And I've talked about that before. And you guys understand what I'm saying. It's not easy sometimes to take even 5 minutes sometimes to pray. It don't seem like much. 5 minutes doesn't seem like much, does it? Doesn't seem like much, because by the time some of us get down on the floor, if we're going to kneel down and pray, you know, it takes us 5 minutes to get there and 5 minutes to get up. But what I'm saying is we have to be obedient. We have to be a praying church. So the second thing we see is praying. And when we can look over here in chapter 4, if you want to skip over to chapter 4, verse 23 of chapter 4. And we're going to go back. We're going to kind of skip around just a little bit right here, not go too far. When Peter and John went before the Sanhedrin, they come back, and then it talks here in verse 23, it says, the believers pray. What happens, it says, and on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They prayed. They were a praying church. That's what the early church was. And they said, Sovereign Lord, I love this prayer. They said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. I love that. I love that. So we find obedience and we find prayer. And the third thing, we're going to go back a little bit. We're going to go back to where am I at here? I don't want to get lost on you. We're going to go back to chapter 2. Back to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound of like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Some translation says they were in one accord. They were unified. They were all wanting the same thing, seeking the same thing. They were unified. And so the third thing I'm going to bring out here is unity. The church has to be unified. And I'm telling you, if we come together, and we could stop right here for a moment and think, if we all come together here every Sunday, every Wednesday, or every time the doors are open, every time we gathered, and we come here in unity, and we pray, what do you think could happen if we're all wanting the same thing? Man, I think we could do great things because Jesus said we could. Jesus said, you'll do, He just said that just a couple pages back. He said, you're going to do greater things than I did. Amen?
Amen.
I know I talk about this a lot, but it's what God puts on my heart because I look at this young church developing, the church that Jesus, His vision, this is what He wanted the church to be like. This is what He wanted us to be like. He wanted us to be obedient to His Word. He wanted us to be praying and He wanted us to be unified. Does that look like the church today? And I'm not saying this particular church, so don't be offended. I'm not saying that to offend or to pick out anything. I'm just saying, when you look at the church in the United States or in the world today, does the church look like this? Is this what it looks like? And so we think about, I think about these things, okay? And so we know that they were in the upper room. And then the fourth thing, we're reading right on it. It says, suddenly a sound like a blowing and violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The fourth thing we have to be is be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that's exactly in order, but this is the order that the Scripture's in, right? The first thing that they were obedient. Second thing, they were in prayer. They were in unity. And then the Holy Spirit came. Amen? Amen? Man, just think about that. If we come here and we're in unity, we're being obedient, and we're praying, the Holy Spirit can come and fall. Man, this place could be on fire. Amen? And some people kind of, you know, I call it, you heard the word sequestration. You've heard that word before? To sequester something, to push it away. You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes we do that. I think sometimes we feel the Holy Spirit, but we don't understand it, so we push it away. Amen? Amen. I believe people do that because they don't understand it. They don't really kind of feel like that's right. It's kind of out of line for them. Does that make sense? So we have to be Holy Spirit filled, we have to be unified, we have to be praying, and we have to be obedient. The fifth thing is we have to be spreading the gospel. Right after this happened, right after the disciples, right after this happened, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately after, verse 14, what happens? Of chapter 2, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. He started spreading the gospel immediately. That's what the church needs to do. We have to spread the gospel. We have to preach the word. It's not just up to the preacher to spread the gospel. It's not up just to the pastor to spread the gospel. It's up to the church to spread the gospel. Amen? Amen. We have to get out there. That's our desire. I talked about that this morning. Our desire should be to spread the gospel so that others can be saved. That's our desire in the church. And in order to be effective, with that, we have to be Holy Spirit filled. We have to be unified, we have to be praying, and we have to be obedient. Our obedience comes in following His commands every day. The sixth thing is, we got to look at James. Can you turn with me to the book of James? James chapter 1. It's also part of in the book of Acts, but I want to look at James chapter 1, verse 27. I know I didn't tell Verna that one, but we could even really go back to verse 26 and read all of that. It says, in verse 26, starting in there, it says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our fathers accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So we find number six is taking care of widows and orphans and not allowing ourselves to be polluted by the world. And that's easy to do in this country we live in today. I mean, everywhere you look, there's sinful things. I mean, everywhere you look, you're bombarded by it. I'm telling you, you can't watch TV without seeing all this inappropriate stuff. Even things that are supposed to be okay, they think it's okay nowadays, and it's really not okay. We have to protect our minds. We have to protect our hearts. We cannot be corrupted by the world. And it's easy to do, especially in this nation we live in. And it continues to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Why? Word tells us it will. He says in the last days it'll get worse. It's going to get bad. And anymore, there's things happening that doesn't even surprise you. You're like, well, yeah, it happens. And sometimes we get calloused by those things. You know, I've said this before about the language that's used at where I work a lot of times by the crews and by some of the guys that, you know, they're not saved. But they use horrible, you know, they use language that sometimes I get callous to. Seriously. I mean, you almost hear it so much, it's just like, you don't want to hear it, but you hear it so much you become callous to it. But that's the world we live in. We live in a sin-sick world. And God put us there for a reason. He put us there for a reason. And that's to spread the word. And the only way that we could do that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the only way we can get the Holy Spirit is to be unified in prayer and be obedient to do that. Taking care of the widows and the orphans is something the church is supposed to be doing. It goes along with number 7, which is giving. And if we go back to Acts, I know we're jumping back to Acts here, and we look at chapter 4. Look at chapter 4 of Acts. And we look at verse 32. This goes back to prove unity also as well. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I could go on and read this part right here. But they were givers. They had a heart to give to the ones in need. We have to be that. We have to have that desire to give to others. And sometimes I just see, this is mine. This is mine. This is my church. This is my Bible. This is my pew. But that's okay sometimes. I'm proud of my church. It's not about where I'm standing right now. If I was sitting down there or I was standing up here, I'd still be proud of my church. I mean that. I hope you guys understand that and know that. But that's who I am. So we got to be giving. We got to be taking care of people. We got to take care of people. We really do. We got to be spreading the gospel, filled with the Holy Spirit. One thing you'll read about the church is they were always planning. I could stop right there. Number 8 is they were growing and moving forward all the time. They were always moving forward. The apostles always, what they were focused on is where they could start the next church. You read that in the book. Where they could start the next church. Paul was the same way. When you look at Paul's ministry, it was about where they could go next. Where they could spread the gospel next. That's how this church got started. Is a few people put their money together, their own money, and they went and started the church over here on the other street over here, the little church. That's how they started this church. And then it grew, and it grew, and then it became here, built this church. But the Nazarene church has always been big at that. Their focus is on growing. Their focus is on spreading the gospel and moving forward all the time. So when we look at that, I look at myself. I always preach to myself. I always look at these things and I said, is this me? Is this me? Am I obedient to the Word? Am I obedient to Him like I should be? Am I praying like I should be? Am I unified with everybody, with the Word? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I seeking the Holy Spirit every day to stay with me and go with me and guide me and direct me? Is that what I'm doing? Am I spreading the gospel every day? Am I telling people about Jesus and what He's done, not only for me, but what He's done for the whole world? Am I giving? Am I spending time giving? Helping people, taking care of people. You know, I'm not a wealthy person. I don't have a lot of money, but sometimes it's not about money. Sometimes it's about giving your time. You know, just spending time with people. There's some people that just want somebody to talk to. I've went and talked to, I remember a lady, Bonnie Sweet. Some of you probably remember Bonnie, Sister Bonnie. She was bedridden for a while before she passed on, and I used to go by and visit her every now and then. I loved that lady. And I would go by and visit her, and I would leave more encouraged than I went. I went to encourage her, but I left there all, I was like, man, woo! Because she was one that was, there was nothing going to get her down. She was one that would shout hallelujah till the day she passed on and went to heaven. That was her. Amen. But also, with all those, am I growing? Am I learning? Am I desiring to learn more? And that's what we have to do. We can't just stay stuck where we're always at and think that's good enough. We have to always grow. We always have to look forward. We have to move forward in our daily walk with Christ. It's moving forward. Because when we're moving forward, we're going one step closer to heaven. One step closer to heaven. That's our goal, right? That's our goal. That's my goal. I want to spend my eternity in heaven. Amen. I want people to, when I pass on, I want you guys to have a party, okay? I want a celebration. I don't want anybody to mourn my death. I want to have a party. Because I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus. That's what I want. Well, I hope you think about these when you leave. I hope you take this with you. I hope it helps somebody tonight. I know it helped me studying it. It really does. It helps me. It encourages me. The early church, there's a lot more to the early church. We could spend weeks in the book of Acts and what the early church did and how they were. And it amazes me. I look at it and I think, is this really who we are today? Are we really the same church? Are we really the church that Jesus wanted us to be? I think about that. And I'm not saying that we're not. I'm not saying that we're not. I'm just saying it's good to look at it and say, this is what He wanted. Now, where am I? Okay? Where am I at? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, Lord. I hope I spoke it. I hope I spoke what You wanted me to say tonight, Lord. Lord, I praise You. I thank You. Lord, I just want to surrender my life to You. Lord, I just want to live for You every day. I want to be the person that You wanted me to be. I want to be the church that You want me to be. Lord, I just pray for these that are here tonight, Lord. I pray for their safety. I pray for their health, Lord. Lord, I just thank You. I thank You for Your death on the cross. I thank you for rising again. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to spend eternity with you. Lord, keep us safe as we leave here tonight. Let us be spreading the gospel. Let us be Spirit-filled, unified, loving, giving church that you wanted us to be. And I praise you in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.